Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, verses 1 to 5 and 14 through 17. You can follow along in the bulletin or in the pew Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ."
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be life-giving and life-affirming, O Holy One, for you are our shalom. Amen. So people and scholars, right, all of us, have varying beliefs on what the biblical texts were intended to be, what the scriptures were intended to be, the purpose behind them. And so the question is, what are the scriptures and how do we approach them? And your personal answer to that is very important. It matters. You see, if I think of the Bible as a rule book, then I approach what I read in the scriptures looking for the rule that's stated there. And when I find what I believe to be the rule, then it tells me right and wrong, good and bad, whether I'm, in my language, measuring up or not. That also means that if I have questions on life and on living, I would expect that the Bible's going to have some similar situation that I can go and simply seek out, and it would tell me the rules that I should behave by. What to do and what not to do. A rule book. However, if I think the Bible instead offers guidance instead of a list of rules, right, then I approach the scriptures looking for themes and threads. How do I get guidance from this information? So I seek to understand the deeper context of the stories that are shared, and through understanding that context, I hope to come for a deeper understanding of what's happening. That would then shape how I respond in my context today. What's similar, what's dissimilar, where might this lead me? Instead of looking to the Bible as if it has all answers, in other words, instead of opening it saying there's got to be a situation exactly like mine, right? Instead of that, I would look at the stories about Jesus and about God and about how they acted in situations and how that shapes how I'm being called to act, themes and threads, guidance. Well, whether you believe the Bible is more of rules or the Bible is more of guidance, I'm going to suspect that there's one thing at least that we would agree on, at least here in this faith community. Now, I know that I go out on a great limb when I say that, because you've probably heard it said, as I have, where two or three disciples are gathered, four or five opinions exist. But I suspect that we would agree that the Bible was not intended to be a science text. Not intended to be a science text. That the creation stories were not intended to teach us an exact order of things. But they were meant instead to teach us about God and about who we are in God and about the substance and essence of the world in which we live, so that we are in living relationship with God and one another and all that exists. Now, you may explain all that differently, but I hope, perhaps, I believe, perhaps, that we agree that the scriptures weren't intended to be a science text. So the spiritual understanding of cosmology and quantum physics, right? How do we reconcile this? Science is telling us all of this about the created universe, but yet scripture is, for me, themes and threads, and so where's the intersecting of those two? The spiritual understanding of cosmology and quantum physics teaches us that in the beginning, before anything was, there was God. Right? Creation didn't come out of nothing. Creation came out of God. And so all things that exist are made from the same dust of stars from that beginning. All things that exist are made from the same dust of stars. The whole created universe is in God and of God. Jesus taught to his disciples that God dwells within me, God dwells within us. And in the same way, he taught we dwell within God. I don't have an image for that. But somehow, in the great mystery of faith, God dwells in us and we dwell in God. And so God, the language is, inheres in us and we inhere in God. The language that we used to use often, you would hear when we talk about faith in God, would create an image that looked like, here's the universe, right? This great big circle. And in that universe is you and me and plants and rocks and trees. And over here, way outside, this is God, right? And so God was this outside of everything thing. And what scripture is teaching, I believe, and what science is teaching seems to be that this great big circle is God, right? And inside it is the universe and you and me and all kinds of other stuff, not just our universe, but all kinds of other stuff. So we have this great big circle of God, and we have this within it, universe of all that exists, and somewhere in there is me and you and rocks and trees and, right? We dwell in God, and in some way, God dwells in us. And so when the scripture says to us, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, that's a whole new image. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We dwell in God, and God dwells in us. But Jesus' teachings, we understand, were not just about us. If the whole of the created universe is in God in some way, then we rest in the heart of God, and it rests in the heart of God, all of creation kind. We rest somehow in one another. So we can't talk about the sacredness of humanity if we don't also talk about the sacredness of all else, including the wind and the water and the rocks, right? I probably shared this before, but I just find these things so fascinating. I learned a while ago there is an enzyme that is found in a chrysalis from a caterpillar, right? That is necessary for that caterpillar to transition into a butterfly, a specific enzyme. And the only place in the world that scientists have also found that enzyme to exist so far, right? But the only place else they have found that enzyme to exist is in your heart. Why is that? In the human heart is the same enzyme, and only in the human heart is the same enzyme that is necessary to transform this caterpillar into a butterfly. I don't have an answer, but wow. But wow. So in a very real way, we are not born into the world. We are instead born from the world or of the world. We're not separate, we're part of. So I believe that we will not fully understand how God is alive in us until we also understand how God is mediated through the rest of creation. It's not just about humanity that gives us a glimpse of God. We've left out a really big part if that's all we do. So through Jesus' life and ministry, by his witness and example, we're invited to understand the connectedness and community, the healing and peace, not just for you and me, not just for humanity, but for creation kind. So if all things dwell in God, and God dwells in all things, then God cares about this universe. God cares about the systems and structures in which we live, the ones that are inherent to the created universe and the ones we create. God cares about justice and freedom of choice and compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and strength and connectedness of all that exists. And so, like I said to the kids, our choices matter. But for us, it's more than just do we litter or recycle. It's also about nitrogen runoff from over-fertilizing our lawns. It's about the size of our carbon footprint, the overforestation and destruction of habitats. All these and more come at the expense of creation kind, and so we are all made of the dust of stars, and so our choices matter. God dwells within it all, and in ways we cannot even conceive of. All of creation is a song of praise to God. Earth Sunday, Earth Week, I invite us to share together, to close my sermon, a litany of praise. You'll find a green insert in your bulletin. If you're like me and might be directionally challenged inside a building, you all are north and you all are south. Or you can read whichever part you like. Let's read together. The earth is a sparkling blue and white jewel, laced with slowly swirling veils of white, like a small pearl in a thick sea of black mystery. All creation is a song of praise to God. You encircle the wheel of the cosmos. You encompass all that is, all that has life, in one vast circle. All creation is a song of praise to God. It could be that God has not absconded but spread, as our vision and understanding of the universe have spread, to a fabric of spirit and sense so grand and subtle, powerful in a new way, that we can only feel blindly of its hem. All creation is a song of praise to God. Start. Just fairy tale magic. It is what we are really made of. All creation is a song of praise to God. Great Spirit, give me the strength to walk the soft earth, a relative to all that is. All over the earth, the faces of living things are all alike. This is my prayer. Hear me. All creation is a song of praise to God. There is not anything new to be born. It has been within you from the beginningless beginning. It has only to be awakened, to become aware of itself in you. All creation is a song of praise to God. For in God we live and move and have our being. All creation is a song of praise to God. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. All creation is a song of praise to God. Amen. Amen.